And we are on the fly back at EAA Square on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, day two of AirVenture 2014. And we are doing a one-week wonder thing here today on the fly. And joining us now is Philip Cronier. Did I say that right?
100% correctly.
Awesome. Philip, you are a dealer for Zenith Aircraft, and as such, you are deeply involved in the process of the One Week Wonder Project. Tell us where you're from and what your company is and how you got on board with this program.
Okay, my company is Bundu Aviation. I'm from Pretoria, South Africa, and being part of the Zenith Group globally, I volunteered to come and work and assist with the One Week Wonder because it's a fantastic opportunity for everybody to see how quickly and how easily the aircraft actually does get built. So I volunteered and here I am.
Okay, and how many other counterparts like yourselves from other dealerships are here and who are they?
We have another African dealer that's here. It's Jonathan Porter. He's from Ghana. Then we have, I believe, another two dealers from the U.S. present as well at the moment.
So you two are the only foreign dealers, huh?
That is my understanding at the moment, yes, sir.
So you are wearing a tag that says rear fuselage on it and then your name. So I'm wondering, and as are the listeners probably, how does this get organized at the start? Like if you show up here at the tent, how do you get to pick where you're going to work, what area, or how does that happen?
The Zenith, let's say, coordinator allocates us each a project to do or to help manage and guide the people on how to assemble certain parts, and I was allocated the rear fuselage. There was no beforehand, I'd like this, I'd like that. It is, we get what we get asked to do.
He said, Philip, we need somebody back there on the rear fuselage. You're the man.
That's it.
Okay, and I would imagine that's representative of anybody who shows up here to volunteer. Their coordinator has decided where they need people and allocated. When you show up, that's the route you take.
That's the process, yes.
Just that easy. So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing the last 2 days.
Okay, last 2 days, been coordinating putting the rear fuselage together. Now, from there, it's lining up, getting the parts ready. We have a volunteer batch that comes in the morning, a volunteer batch that comes in the afternoons. So each batch of volunteers that come in, we basically supervise each batch that comes in. And we build with them according to plan, follow the manuals. We as supervisors don't do much, let's call it dirty work ourselves. It has to be done by the volunteers. Then as the process gets to the point where we've finished drilling, we've deburred and everything's ready, we put the work pieces out on a table and then people in the audience can come out or walk-bys can come in and actually pull a few rivets on the actual aircraft. You get a your name recorded in the build log, photograph taken, you get to sign off and actually leave your signature on the aircraft next to your rivets. So it's quite exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Have you built, your dealer, have you built your own Zenith?
I've built, it's about 12 Zeniths now.
12 of them?
Yeah.
So I would consider you to be an expert on building a Zenith.
Yes.
After 12, I would say so. So there's probably quite a few people like yourself that are working in here facilitating, making sure that the pieces are going together properly and organizing what people are going to do.
Yes, the team leaders, like myself, we are considered basically professional builders. We've built a few. We really know the ins and outs of the equipment, the aircraft, what's right, what's wrong. And we can supervise other people. So it's not a whole lot of people going, what do we do now?
Yeah. Well, and if anybody's hesitant to come down and be part of building an airplane just because they don't have any mechanical talents or they're not artistic or they've never built anything before, they shouldn't fear that. They should still come and volunteer because the people who are really watching over that are here in full force.
Yes.
And are not going to allow anybody to really make a critical mistake anyway. So it's all a learning experience.
It's all a learning experience. And if you follow the manuals and read up with all the information that's given, even when you buy a kit, we've got the rudder workshops that we do. So usually when you buy a kit, now this is not anything to do with the show itself, but with the product itself, We usually run a rudder workshop. When you are finished with the workshop after 2 or 3 days, you finish building your first component, which is usually the rudder. So with that, you get a lot of skills base and knowledge on how to continue further with the aircraft, and it gives you a more surety on what you are doing. So it's not, dear, what am I doing now? I have no idea. You walk away feeling quite assured with what you can do and how to do things correctly.
It's a stepping stone system.
Yes, yes.
That has been tried and is now true.
This is true, yes.
So it's working out well.
Very well.
Are we on schedule?
Some parts we are fairly ahead of schedule.
Nice.
I think we've caught up with what we were in arrears with yesterday, and we're on schedule again overall project.
So how does that work? You guys start every morning at when the show opens? 8 o'clock, 9
o'clock? We basically start at 8 o'clock. We do not work past the normal show hours. It's 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock at the moment. There might be a stage where we have to put in a bit of extra time to catch up, or if something's gone wrong, then we might need to step in and work a little bit extra. But at the moment, it's 8 to 5. That's it.
Just progressing right along.
Yes.
Just basically like if somebody was building it in their garage.
That's correct.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, it's kind of intriguing, you're here all the way from South Africa. I spent some time in Pretoria.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it's a nice place. Had quite a good time there.
Not bad.
But I didn't see a lot of general aviation airplanes flying around. Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about maybe the difference between flying a home-built Zenith aircraft in another country versus here in the US of A.
Okay, we also do have the light sport aircraft, let's call it, yeah, the light sport aircraft category in Southern Africa. However, there's some very basic differences between our light sport and the US light sport categories. We don't have the same speed limitations on the aircraft. We can go retractable gear, we can put turbocharged engines in, we can do variable in-flight adjustable propellers in our light sport aircraft. I think one of the main reasons for that big difference is that we have a light sport aircraft license, which is a minimum of 30 hours of formal training, which is comparable to our private pilot's license of about 5 years ago.
It's that's basically exactly halfway between the U.S. light sport certificate and the private pilot certificate, actually.
Yeah.
So it's 20 hours for the light sport and 40 for the private. So you've stuck that. It's right in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's just a different program. It's just a different system, a different regulating system.
Yes.
So when somebody orders a Zenith from you from South Africa,
yeah.
Or do you probably also service Zimbabwe and Tanzania? And
I service Namibia, Botswana, South Africa, Mozambique, Zambia, sections of Malawi and Botswana.
So if somebody, I know there's a lot of bush airplanes, there's a lot of bush flying down in that part of the country, a part of the world actually. Is this product, something like this, turning out to be a popular way to go for smaller outfits or farms, say, or conservancies to get in and out?
It is. It depends on the situation that you're in, which type of aircraft they use. The capabilities of the aircraft, of course, play a major role. This is where the Zeniths are very nice, as with the stall. We've got a lot of stall aircraft down south. They're very useful in what the farmers and the people want them to do. Most of our guys flying the stall aircraft are actually farming type gentlemen that want to get in and out of very small places, land anywhere, etc., etc.
They want to go check their fence line or check their animals or
game counts, that type of thing. Yep. Yeah.
So this is the perfect airplane for that. And of course, the price point is good compared to a factory-built airplane.
That is true, yes.
And obviously, we're showing the whole world here at the 1 Week Wonder Tent this week that it's not a hard thing to do.
No. I must admit, the new match-drilled final size holes is working out extremely nicely.
Talk about that. Well. What exactly is that? What does that mean?
Previous kit generations, like the first kits, you used to get your sheet metal and you had to have to measure the edge distances, then start drilling your own holes from the one, transfer it into the next, and a lot of alignment and measurement work was done. The latest generation kit, like the Zenith Cruiser, all the holes are, well, not all the holes, but most and the majority of your holes already on final size. So it's literally take the pot out of the kit, deburr it, prime it, Clico rivet, which is a heck of a lot faster than what it used to be in the past. And it's more accurate. Well, I must admit, Zenith has done a very good job with the final size alignments, which is great.
I would think that for a novice builder, that would be one of the hardest things to do, probably.
Yes. Yeah.
So that takes the headache out of that, so to speak.
It does. It makes building it a lot more pleasurable, a lot faster. It does get very frustrating when you work on the thing and then you take it apart. Work and put it together apart. Work. Your neighbors start coming saying, hey, but the aircraft doesn't look anything than it did last month. And you said, wow, I've taken it apart. I've been putting hours into it. Nothing's changed. With the new system they're building here, it is awesome. It goes together very fast, very effectively, and these definite quick changes.
And that's how they're going to be able to pull off this one-week wonder.
Yeah, yeah.
it's a fully capable kit to hit that mark, and that's what they're going for. And I think talking to Sebastian, it looks like they're right on track to make that happen.
Yeah, I believe we're on track to finish off in time, even maybe possibly earlier.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we're down here at EA Square, and Philip, I sure appreciate you talking to me as one of the more knowing of volunteers here, as somebody who actually knows the product very well. We're going to come back from our break, and we're going to talk to some kids that have been working on this project. Probably
nice.
The first thing that they've ever built. It's a lot. There's a lot of kids working in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the highlights of AirVenture 2014. So with that, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to some kids who are building an airplane down here at the One Week Wonder. You're listening to EAA Radio.